Thank you very, very much for coming. Today's daf is daf Ayin Beis, yes?
The camera for you.
Oh, we have the camera?
Yeah, it's coming.
Oh, great, yeah. Fantastic. Exciting. So we can say hello to the world. The whole world can log in on today's daf Ayin Beis. So, yeah, on YouTube. Ustream, right? So now, today's daf is daf Ayin Beis, the final daf here in the sixth perek of Masechet Menachos, a chapter dealing with all the aspects of a very special mincha offering, the mincha offering brought on the second day of Pesach, called Minchat HaOmer. Minchat HaOmer is the measure, that's the measure of barley. The Minchat HaOmer was a mincha of barley flour, out of which a fistful would end up in the fire. There would be a kometz going into the fire. The leftovers, the shirayim, would be eaten by kohanim, like kohanim get to eat meat of a chatas or meat of an asham. They get to eat the leftovers of the minchas haomer. And through the offering of the minchas haomer, everyone is now allowed to eat from, as we learned the last few days, from the five grains, from wheat, barley, rye, spelt, or oats that have taken root before the offering of the Minchas HaOmer. The new grain is now permitted through the offering of Minchas HaOmer. Yeah, question.
Sorry, I missed it today. So can we summarize this? You have a field, you're allowed to a third of it. How does it work?
So what it works is like this. Whatever is planted from the five grains, and the five grains are wheat, barley, rye, spelt, and oats. Any of those that are planted after the second day of Pesach, so they only take root after the second day of Pesach, once they grow, let's say things were planted in, 17th of Nisan, and it grew, and now it's ready to come down, I don't know, in Cheshvan. You're not allowed to bring it down. You're not allowed to harvest it, nor are you allowed to eat it if it were to be taken down, because you have to wait until there is the first offering of the new grain has to be Minchat HaOmer. So they would plant in the winter, and Israel they couldn't plant in the spring because there was no rain. So they would plant anyway in Cheshvan. This month, things would be grown and ready basically to come down in the end of Adar, beginning of Nisan. Nisan is the time of the Katsir. The first cutting with the sickle would be of some barley on the second day, on the night after first day of Pesach. In other words, the beginning of the second day of Pesach. And in the morning of the second day of Pesach, they would take that barley and they would out of it make this korban, Minchat HaOmer. They'd bring it. And through the offering of Minchat HaOmer, now everybody could go to all the different fields and they could harvest and they could eat. Now all the chadash, the new grain, was permitted. So this is what we're talking about, this Minchat HaOmer. So we're not allowed to harvest anything really with a sickle. We could use our hands. But we can't use a knife to cut down any of the new grain until the new grain for Minchat HaOmer was cut on Motzaei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach.
And what was the minimum amount that they were cutting for the Minchat HaOmer?
So three sa'ah.
Three
sa'ah worth of grain. What's that? No, then out of that they make the korban. They have to grind it, make out of it the flour, make the korban of one omer. An omer is asirit ha'ifa, it's much less than a sa'ah. They would make out of it the one omer worth of solet. Once that's offered on the second day of Pesach, now everybody can go out, cut the fields, and harvest, and eat from the new grain.
But Rabbi, nobody would work on Chol HaMoed, right? So it would really be pushed off.
Well, you're allowed to work on Chol HaMoed for Davar HaAved if there's a loss, or if there's a danger, let's say, of things getting ruined.
They would do the
a lot they could do. Right.
You want to eat.
What's that? We saw Machloket yesterday.
You could eat right away, I thought, when they
that was one of him, but then the Gemara rejected that.
Oh, we ended up.
There was a Havmin that the Gemara rejected. Okay, so we are on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, page 72a. At the second line, said the Mishnah, even though there is a law that you're not allowed to cut down the new grain until you cut the new grain for the Omer, however, kotzim yipnei netiot, you would be allowed to cut down new grain if it's to save trees. Let's say it's harming trees. This grain is growing next to trees. Umipnei beit ha'evel, you're allowed to cut down the new grain in order to make a clearing, in order to comfort a mourner. Or to cut down the new grain to make a clearing in order to gather everyone to learn Beit HaMidrash, to have a yeshiva, to have a big enough clearing where people can be learning Torah.
In the middle of the field?
The middle of the field. They used to learn outside. Okay. They loved nature. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the source for this? Answers the Gemara, what's the verse that tells me that you can't cut the new grain? It says, Reishit Kitzirchem. The first of your harvest is your Omer. The first of your harvest. Kitzirchem Amarachmana, your harvest. But look, it's your mitzvah, but that doesn't have anything to do with the harvest for the sake of a mitzvah. When you're cutting it down in order to have space for the learning of Torah, when you're cutting down in order to have space to comfort a mourner, it's cutting for a mitzvah. What about cutting for the trees? How's that a mitzvah? So Rashi says maybe these are grains growing next to trees so close that it becomes kilayim, it becomes a prohibited mixture. So you're cutting it down for a mitzvah. So when you cut it down for a mitzvah, that you can do even before the right time. Yeah, question, Almog.
This is for the Kitzira, not for eating whatever.
Correct. That's right, Kitzira, that's right.
But that doesn't make the field two fields now?
That was yesterday. Okay, maybe it would. Maybe it would, but unless we say that this is just the beginning of the harvest, so then already it doesn't make it into two fields. That was what we discussed yesterday. Very good. Then the Mishnah says, when you cut down for the sake of making space for a mourner or for the sake of having space for a yeshiva, below yaseh krichot, you shouldn't make bundles. You shouldn't tie the bundles of wheat and then cut them. Aval manichan tzvatin, he leaves them unbundled. My time, why is that? The answer is, the kamadev shelo tarchina, we don't want people to work too much. And the reason why we don't want people to work too much to first bundle and then cut the bundle is we want it to be clear that this is not the normal cutting. This is a cutting for a mitzvah. That's why it's allowed. But we don't want people to think that they can cut before the Omer is cut. So we don't want them to think, oh, well, we can cut some things, we can eat from them, even though the Omer hasn't been cut. No. The Omer has to be cut first. Reshit Tzirchem, the first of what you cut is to be the Omer and not anything else. All right, then the next point of the Mishnah. Mitzvah sa omer lavi min hakama. Ideally, the omer should come from grain that was attached to the ground. In other words, that it's cut from the ground for the sake of the omer, not grain that had been cut before and now is just out and hadn't been cut for the sake of the mitzvah sa omer. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa about this law, but the Mishnah said if you don't have any grain that's still attached to the ground, you can't find any, then you can take grain that's detached and use it for mincha to omer. The verse says, v'im takriv, I'll read the entire verse, have it in the Torah, or, v'im takriv minchas bikurim la'Hashem, and if you will bring a mincha that's of the first for Hashem, aviv, it has to be fully ripe, kalui ba'esh, popped in fire, geresh, ground up, karmel, it has to be, you know, one that you can easily separate the chaff from it, Takrivas minchas bikurecha. That's where you bring your first mincha. The verse says again, v'im takriv minchas bikurim. Ma talmud lomar. Why does it say v'im takriv minchas bikurim? Lefi, the answer is, because mitzvah sa'omer lo havi min hakama, ideally the omer should come from that which is still attached to the ground, because it says, chermesh bakama, me'achel chermesh bakama, when you start using the sickle on that which is attached to the ground. So minayin shim lo matzah minakam. How do we know that if you can't, the kohanim can't find anything attached to the ground? Yav mina omrim, then they can just use kernels of barley that have already been detached from the ground. That's why we have this verse. Vim takriv, tamalom takriv. And if you will bring, you will bring. In other words, bring, no matter what, bring. So if you don't have the best, so bring something else which isn't the best. Bring the rest. You don't have that which is attached to the ground, so bring from the garinim, bring from the kernels. Davar achra, another lesson from the word takriv. Takriv is to say, l'fisha mitzvah lavi min alach. Ideally, you should be bringing kernels that are still moist, that haven't dried out, because it says karmel. Karmel meaning easy to separate the chaff from it. How do we know that if the Kohanim can't find any kernels that are moist? Then they can bring kernels that have dried out already and use them to make the minchata omer. Tamal Omer again, that's what the verse says. V'im takriv, if you'll bring, you bring no matter what, whatever the circumstances. Tamar Acher, third idea. Why does it say takriv? L'fisha mitzvah to liktor balayla. The mitzvah is to cut it at night. As we say, the Torah says, Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot, 7 complete weeks, if you're counting from the Omer. So a complete week means that you start at the beginning of the weeks, that's the night. So the mitzvah is to cut at night. How do we know that if they didn't cut it that night? They could cut it the next day, and they could use what was cut by day for the Minchas Omer. Again, Tamal Omer, Vim Takriv. That's why it says, if you bring Takriv Mikol Makom, even in the morning, that's also acceptable to bring. And a fourth lesson from the word Vim Takriv, from the words Vim Takriv. Vedoches HaShabbos. Bringing the Omer overrules Shabbos. You might think I can't bring it on Shabbos. Tamal Omer Takriv, bring, no matter what. So now the Gemara just, the Brisa reviews what we're learning from. Takriv, bring, meaning kol shehu, that no matter what it is, even if it wasn't cut from the kama, takriv mikol makom, bring from any place, even if it's far from Yerushalayim and therefore dry. Takriv, you should bring it, afilu b'Shabbos, even if it's on Shabbos. And again, because it is a communal sacrifice, Takriv, bring it, v'afilu b'tumah. Even if people are tameh, tumah doesn't come in the way to stop it. You can bring it even in a state of impurity.
Wow, it's dry or moist? Either way, doesn't
yes,
matter.
It should be moist. But if you don't have moist, well, then dry also bring.
But the moist is not ripe yet. Am I right? Am
it
I
is right? Ripe, but it's not dried out. It is ripe.
We do keli.
It's not different things. This is saying you learn all these things from one word.
That's right. Because the word is saying, Takriv, bring it. Bring it, no matter what. Not so good. Let's bring it. Bring it. Shabbos, bring it. We're going to see. But yes, we're going to see. That's a discussion. It's a dispute. But yeah, we can cut it on Shabbos as well. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not really a dispute, but how do you see that in the verse is a bit of a question. But yeah, you can cut on Shabbos as well.
Summary they mentioned four, but actually they
made
five.
Five, that's right. There's actually because in Tuma also has
been mentioned. They violated all the rules of Shabbat here, Rabbi, right?
So you know the in the Beit Hamikdash, the violation of Shabbat was the fulfillment of Shabbat. This is how to observe Shabbat. Hashem says you observe Shabbos in the Beit Hamikdash through harvesting, slaughtering, burning, doing the avodah, doing the service. Yaakov, can we find something for you? Are you looking for anything? Mechapes mashu? Ma? A little box, if anybody saw. A little box.
A little box of what?
Ma yaba kufsa? I don't know. Okay. So now, niktsar bayom kasher. The Mishnah said that if it was harvested by day, it's also kosher. That's what our Brisa just said, right? Our Brisa said, if you didn't have a choice, you harvested by day, it's also kosher. Ask the Gemara, we have a contradiction. Right? Our Mishnah says if it's harvested by day, it's kosher. That seems to be against the Mishnah in Masechet Megillah, where the Mishnah talks about things of day and things of night. Nixer by Yom kosher. If it's slaughtered by day, it's kosher. Ask the Gemara, but tonight we learned in a Mishnah, Kol alayla kosher l'ksira sa'omer. The Mishnah says, all night is kosher for the cutting of the Omer. And the entire night is kosher lehaktir chalav ve'varim, to burn fats and limbs. And here's the rule. Zehaklal, this is the rule. Kosher mitzvah so kalayom, all those things that their mitzvah is all day, like the slaughtering of a karban, or the throwing of the blood of a karban, kosher kalayom, you can do it by day, all time during the day, anytime during the day, can't do it at night. Those things that their mitzvah is at night, like the cutting of the Omer. You can do it all night. Katani, so what does it seemingly sound like? The things that are of night are like the things that are of day. Just like the things that are supposed to be by day. They can be done all day, but by Lila low, but they can't be done at night. After Lila, so to the things of night. By Yom Nami Lo, they can be done all night, but they can't be done by day. So that seems to be against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you can cut the Omer by day. Doesn't the Mishnah Megillah seem to say you can't? Oh, my Rabbi, Rabbi gave an answer. Lo Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Rabbi Bar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. It's an argument between Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya was in a Brisa. Haya Omer, let's say he's standing. Umakiv Minchas Omer. And he's offering the mincha to Omer. And then the nitmes, and then some lizard jumps, gets a heart attack in the air, and drops down as a dead lizard on top of the mincha to Omer. It now became tameh. So now, what do you do? Im yesh acheres, if there's other stuff available, even though it hasn't been cut yet and it's by day. Omrim lo havei acheres, tachta. They say, okay, so don't bring the minchas omer, which is tamei. Go cut and bring another one for minchas omer. Vim lav, but if there is no other wheat to cut, there's no other wheat out there, all the wheat's been cut, I'm sorry, no other barley out there, there's nothing available near Yerushalayim, you can't get it. So then Omer lo evi pikeach, and tell him, be smart, ushtok, just be quiet, because as we said, takriv, even betumah, so you can offer it in betumah, you can offer it when it's impure, just bring it, just be quiet, don't tell anybody that there's a dead lizard on it, just do it. Divrei Rabbi, that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. However, Blessed Rabbi Shimon says, even if you could go out now and cut, because there is still barley standing out in the fields near Yerushalayim, Ben kach, whether there's available or there isn't available, Omer lo, you just go on and do it. We tell him, Hevi pikeach, be smart, ushtok, and be quiet, just offer the mincha to Omer when it is impure. Why? Why can't you replace it and do it now in a better way? Explains Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon, Shekol Omer Shenikta Shlokim Mitzvaso Pasol. If you cut the barley for the Omer not at the right time, Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon holds, it's no good. What's the right time to cut the barley for the Minchat Omer? At night. Now it's already past the night. It's by day. That's when he was offering the mincha. That's when the lizard fell on it. It was by day. So by day, to cut the barley, it's no good. So you see, according to Blessed Rabbi Shimon, to cut the barley by day is no good. So that would be like the Mishnah in Megillah. Whereas Rabbi said that when the Minchat Omer became tameh by day, go and bring a different one, go cut barley and grind it up and pop it beforehand and make the Minchat Omer. So that's the view that of our Mishnah, that by day, but the Evid is also okay.
So the dead thing touched it is kosher la Pesach.
Well, it's certainly kosher, certainly accepted. The question is, should we look for something else, look for better? According to Blessed Rabbi Shimon, you can't look for better because something else is going to be worse. It's too late.
Yeah.
According to Rabbi, you can look for better too.
So which opinion is the kosher Rabbi here?
Who do we paskin like? Let me see. Let's see in the back here, they have all the halachas. I think we paskin like. I think we said if you cut by day, it is kosher. It is kosher, b'di'evit, if it was done by
so
day.
So then the dead is dead.
Yeah, maybe you'd be better off redoing it now, because it would be kosher.
But it seems to me that he prefers the b'di'evit aspect of day versus the b'di'evit aspect of tumah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You'd say, like, this is right here and now, the whole b'di'evit.
Yeah. I'm a Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, b'shitas Rabbi Akiva, Rabbo shel Aviv Amra. Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, who says that there is a problem in cutting it by day, he is following the view of Rabbi Akiva, who was the teacher of his father. His father was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And the father of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the teacher of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is Rabbi Akiva. And so he's following the view of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Shimon is following the view of Rabbi Akiva, the teacher of his father. It's not because we went in a Mishnah. Klal on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva gives a rule about the mitzvah of Brit Milah. All those malachos, the prohibitions that could have been done before Shabbos, ain't a dochas Shabbos. That doesn't overrule Shabbos. So therefore, v'savlok Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Shmuel, d'amar k'tziras omer mitzvah, that the cutting of the omer itself is a mitzvah. It's not, as we went in a Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel says, Macharish Vishus, just like the harvesting. Macharish Vishus, just like plowing is always an option. Afkatsi Rishus. So too, when we talk about harvesting, we talk about a harvesting that is an option. Yatzak Tzira Omer, to exclude the harvesting of Omer, Shehi Mitzvah, which is a mitzvah. And therefore, Now, if you're going to tell me that when you cut it at the wrong time, let's say too late or too early, it would still be kosher, then amai dachi Shabbos. Then why would we ever overrule Shabbos to cut down the Omer? Nekatz from Erev Shabbos. Let's just cut it beforehand. Let's cut it on Friday. Let's cut it beforehand. It'll be okay. Ella, so from the fact, midadachi Shabbos, the fact that we do overrule Shabbos to cut the Omer. Shmamina, that's how he derived it. Nikzar shloka mitzvaso, puzzle. That if it would be cut, not at the right time, not in the right moment, it's puzzle. So that's why you have to do it on Shabbos, because it's something which you need to do now. So that's why it overrules Shabbos. So ask the Gemara 1 second. For Rebbe, who disagrees with this. Lav talmid Rebbe Shimon, isn't he also a student of Rebbe Shimon, who was a student of Rebbe Akiva? And so shouldn't he also agree to this rule that whatever you could do before Shabbos, you have to do before Shabbos, you don't have a rule Shabbos for it? What time? Didn't we learn in a Braisa? My Rabbi said, Kishayinu lemeidim Torah etzor Rabbi Shimon b'tzakoa. When we were learning Torah by Rabbi Shimon in Tzakoa, so we learned in Masechet Erevin that there is a rabbinic law. Even though normally, biblically, we would think that on Shabbos you could carry from a private domain to another private domain, the rabbis created a prohibition. They said you can't carry from one house to another house unless you make a Eruv Chatzerot, unless you combine all the domains through a Eruv Chatzerot. But we learned in Masechet Erevin that that was only about primary residences. But they never said that if food started in a roof, you couldn't take it from the roof to a backyard, to another backyard, even though those are different private domains. They're not primary residences. So what did we learn here? Rebbe said, when we were learning Torah by Rabbi Shimon at Rabbi Shimon's feet in Tekoa, Hayinu malun lo shemen va'aluntis, we would bring him oil and towels, mechatzer legag, from the courtyard to the roof. Umigag lekarfif, and from the roof to the backyard, and mikarfif lekarfif acher, and from one backyard to another backyard, atchanu maginu mayan, until we would get to the spring, shana rochzim bo, there we would wash him there. So you see that he also is a student of Rabbi Shimon. So why wouldn't Rabbi also agree to this? To where Belezer Rabbi Shimon says, answers the Gemara, Savar la, Rabbi holds ki idach Rabbi Shimon, like the other idea of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya on Rabbi Shimon used to say, Bo re'e, this is the idea that I mentioned after davening. Come and see. Kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. How precious a mitzvah done at its moment is. See how precious a mitzvah is. Shari hektu chalav me'varim k'sherim kalalayla. Really, you can offer the fats and the limbs of a carbon ola at night. You could put them into the fire at night. But yet, v'lo ayum abtun le'en achatechshach. The kohanim would not wait with them until the night, but the Karbanos Tam, the Karbanos Musaf of Shabbos, they would do it on Shabbos. Why? They would overrule Shabbos for mitzvah b'shaita, to do the mitzvah at its moment. So that's why also we would overrule Shabbos, do the mitzvah at its moment. 1 second. We have Belez Rabbi Shimon lo shmiele. So Belez Rabbi Shimon doesn't know this idea of chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. So how does he prove that the cutting of the Omer has to overrule Shabbos and you can't do it earlier? Maybe it's just because of Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita. Ella, he also knows this law. He knows this law. And he says the following. Shani Yasam, there's a difference between the burning of the limbs and the fats. Shari Dach Tashchitas HaShabbos, the slaughtering of this carbon, overruled Shabbos. Whereas in Minchas HaOmer, if you could cut the harvest at any time and B'dievet would be okay, you don't need to have an overruling of Shabbos. So therefore, you wouldn't be able to do it on Shabbos. 1 second, says the Gemara, the Rabbi Achinami. So according to Rabbi, say the same thing. The reason why with the limbs and fats, they are offered at night. I'm sorry, they're not offered at night. They're offered on Shabbos because the mitzvah is precious on Shabbos. So we should say that's different. Dachta shchita sa Shabbos. There was shchita overruling Shabbos. But with the Omer, who's to say you should be able to be violating Shabbos to cut it down? Ella, so you're right. Kasava Rabbi holds Ktsira Sa'omer Lo Dachya Shabbos. Rabbi holds that you're not supposed to cut down the grain for the Omer on Shabbos, because since it's not an absolute requirement to be done that night, even if it was done a different time, it's still kosher. So therefore, you shouldn't be Docha Shabbos for it. Just do it at a different time. 1 second, the Gemara says, how can anyone say that the Ktsirat HaOmer, the cutting of the Omer, doesn't overrule Shabbos? Hello? What now we have in the Mishnah, the very first Mishnah of this chapter. Chachamim omrim, chachamim say, echad Shabbos ve'echad chol mishalosh ayoba. That both on Shabbos and during the week, they would cut down three sa'a. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael says, on Shabbos they would cut three sa'a, during the week they would cut five sa'a. And everybody's saying that they would cut on Shabbos. Well, not everybody says that. It's a local Rebbe. That's not the view of Rebbe. What about another Mishnah? Chacham omrim, chacham say, echad Shabbos ve'echad chol. Whether it's Shabbos or it's during the week, the shlosha, it's three kohanim doing the cutting, the shalosh kupos into three boxes, uva shalosh maglos, and with three sickles. That's the Gemara again, the local Rebbe. That's just not the view of Rebbe. One second, we have another Mishnah. Uva Shabbos, on Shabbos, the kohen, before he cuts, says, Shabbos, right? It's Shabbos today. Everybody says it's Shabbos. He says, okay, I'm cutting. One second, when you're saying according to Rebbe, he doesn't cut because he can use b'di'eved, the grain that was cut at a different time. So then don't overrule Shabbos. Like you learned from Rebbe Akiva, you don't overrule Shabbos. If you could, avoid overruling Shabbos in regards to Bris Milah. And Rebbe has to follow Rebbe Akiva because he's a student of Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe Shimon's a student of Rebbe Akiva. All right, to look Rebbe. That Mishnah is also not like Rebbe. What about our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Niktzar Bayom Kasher. You can cut the Omer by day, b'di'eved, and then it said, v'dochas ha-Shabbos, and the Omer overrules Shabbos. Man shama le'dama niksa b'yom kasher. Who's the one who says you can cut the Omer by day? You don't have to cut it at night. That there's not a set time when it has to be cut. That's Rebbe. But here, katani, v'dochas ha-Shabbos, it overrules Shabbos. My lav l'ktsira, isn't it that the cutting overrules Shabbos? This is addressing what Baruch brought up. Says the Gemara, no, this Mishnah is saying, Le'inyin HaKrava, it's saying that the offering is done on Shabbos. The Omer is brought on Shabbos, but it would be cut, according to Rebbe, before Shabbos. Really? Aval Ksira lo, but the cutting is not done on Shabbos. For a time, we learned in a Braisa. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, the verse says, Vayedaber Moshe's Moadei Hashem, El B'nei Yisrael, Moshe commanded the holidays of God to the Jewish people. Matam Olam, what's the verse teaching us? I would have thought that only the Karban Tamid, the Karban Pesach, where it says about them, on its time, on its time even on Shabbos, on its time even when you're impure. How do we know that the other communal Karbanos overrule Shabbos? That's the verse says, these you shall do for God in your holidays. So all of them overrule Shabbos and impurity. How do we know that the Omer and the Akarev Imo and the sheep that comes with it, that also overrules Shabbos? How do we know that Shtei Alechem, that the two loaves of bread, the Akarev Imo and the two sheep that come with them, overrule Shabbos? That's the verse says, Vayidaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem. Moshe said, all the holidays, Akasav Kava Moed Lekula, and Hashem is, the verse is saying that there's one holiday for all. All of them have a set time, and the set time overrules Shabbos and Yom Tov. So one second, Lamai. In regards to what? If this Bryce is talking about the actual offering, the throwing of stuff into the fire on the Mizbeach, the two loaves, they aren't put into the fire at all. They're eaten by the Kohanim. What must it be? The Tchin of Arkada. We're talking about the grinding of these wheats to make out of them a flour. The sifting, which is overruling Shabbos. So the kavas lagabe omer l'ktzira. So in regards to the omer, it means the harvesting, the kadachi Shabbos. You see, it's overruling Shabbos. So you see, this is Rebbe. This is Rebbe. And you see that Rebbe is saying that, right, it was Rebbe Omer. It was the text of Rebbe. Rebbe is saying that the harvesting does overrule Shabbos. And when it says, no. Omer l'akrava. When it says that the Omer overrules Shabbos, that's just the offering of the Omer. When it says the Shtei Alechem overrules Shabbos, it's la'afia. It's in regards to the baking of the Shtei Alechem on Shabbos. That's overruling Shabbos. Because Sava Rebbe holds Taner Makadish, that what sanctifies the two breads on Shavuos is the oven. And that's why you can't bake it before Shabbos. If you would bake it yesterday, then it would already be consecrated. And once it's consecrated, the night would ruin it. If it would then have a night, it becomes disqualified as something which had an entire night.
So Rabbi, in abbreviation, Korbanot overrides all the rules of Shabbos.
Communal Korbanos.
And right. The timing overrides the Korbanot. Because the timing has to be correct to do it.
The timing has to be right. According to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, according to Rebbe, you could cut the barley by day. The timing is not so necessary. But because the timing is not so necessary, he would not allow for the cutting of the barley to be done on Shabbos, because he could do it before Shabbos. Mm-hmm. What about the two breads? The two breads, when he says that that's done on Shabbos, that means that they are baked on Shabbos. Why are they baked on Shabbos? Because what makes them holy is the oven. If what makes them holy is the oven, you can't bake them before Shabbos, because then you'll have a day that will disqualify them, Belina, till Yom Tov. So ask the Gemara.
The oven would be on from the day before?
The oven? Yeah, it was always on.
It's always on.
Yeah, the Sava Rabbi, does Rabbi hold Taner Makadish, that it's the oven that makes the breads holy? The two sheep of Shavuos, the shlamim brought by the nation, they consecrate the breads when they are slaughtered. Ketzad, how does it work? Shachtan l'shman, if they were slaughtered for the sake of the mitzvah. Bezarak daman l'shman, and the blood was thrown for the sake of the mitzvah. Kiddush alechem, then the bread became holy. Shachtan shalolishman, if they were slaughtered, not for the sake of the mitzvah, zarak dam and shalolishman, if the blood wasn't slaughtered for the sake of kivziat zeres, lo kadash alechem, it doesn't make the bread holy. Shachtan lishman, if it was slaughtered for the sake of kivziat zeres, zarak dam and shalolishman, and the blood was not thrown for the sake of kivziat zeres, alechem kadosh veino kadosh, the bread is holy, but it's not fully holy.
How does it work? Either holy or
not holy? Well, you had a shchita, but you didn't have a zrika. So what does it mean that it's holy but it's not fully holy? So one idea is that that means that if you were to try to redeem it, the money that you're putting in its place would not become holy. And the other idea is that it's not fully holy. Kohanim can't eat it, but it is holy that it fulfills the mitzvah. All right, dear Rebbe, that's a view of Rebbe. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omer lo olam eino kadosh, ad sheyishchak lishman v'yizrok dam lishman. That what would consecrate them is the slaughter and the throwing of the blood. So what do you see here? You see that what makes the bread holy? Not the baking of the bread, but the slaughtering of the sheep. So then what's the problem for Rebbe? Let him bake the bread before Shabbos. It's not yet holy. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said like this. Once you bake it in the oven, they do become holy. Hukvu. They did become holy through the baking in the oven. What does it mean that the slaughtering makes it holy? It means that they became holy as karbanos when they're baked in the oven. But to be holy as the karban of shtei halechem, that the sheep have to be slaughtered. When the sheep are slaughtered, that establishes them as shtei halechem. So hukvu, they were established as holy, but below hukvu, they weren't established as this karban until the sheep are slaughtered ka'amar. But since they are made holy through the baking, once they are holy through the baking, they would become disqualified through the night, through being left over. Hajan Allah, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, Perek Rabbi Shmuel, Hadrach Allah. May we merit to come back to this chapter. May it come back to us. All right, a new chapter, going back to the laws of Menachos. Ve'ele Menachos Nikmatzos, the following Menachos, a fistful is taken out. U'shiyarei'en la'kohanim, and the leftover of what's in the bowl goes to the Kohanim to eat. Mincha sasolas, a person that says, I'm donating a mincha of flour, okay? La'machvat, a mincha where they bake on a griddle, a pan. According to many, it doesn't even have any walls. Va'marcheshes, a mincha made of loaves baked in a deep frying pan. Va'chalos, chalos are, we learned, round loaves. Rakikin are probably more pancake-like loaves with oil smeared on top. Minchas of the kochavim, a mincha of Gentiles. A minchas nashim, a mincha brought by women. U'minchas ha'omer, what we had the last chapter about, the minchas ha'omer. U'minchas chote, a mincha brought by someone who mistakenly entered the temple while he was impure. U'minchas kinaos, and a mincha of the sota. All of these menachos, they have to have a fistful taken out of them, and the rest gets eaten by kohanim. Rabbi Shimon says, Minchas chote shel kohanim, A minchas chote brought by Kohanim, according to Rabbi Shimon, also nikmetzes, also a fistful's taken out, and he holds kometz karev la'atzmo, that fistful is brought into the fire, but now the leftover, it's because it's the mincha of a kohen, is also supposed to be in the fire, so shirayim kraven la'atzmo, the leftovers also get thrown into the fire.
Rabbi, the Gentile bringing offering, doesn't that make the whole system tame over there?
No, they let them in. They let them in. Gentiles also can bring karbanos. Ki beiti beitfila yikare l'chol amin. My house will be a house of prayer for all the nations, the prophet Isaiah taught us.
But I mean, they could have it touched by a dead animal.
But a live animal can't become impure. Live animals don't have the ability to be makabel tumah. They can't become impure.
Oh, these are live animals.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not even an animal. It's flour and oil.
You were talking about, wheat and stuff.
No, it's flour and oil.
Flour and oil.
So it can't become tumah yet. It's only once it's mixed that it could become tumah. Plain flour can't become tumah.
If an animal touches the flour, it doesn't get tumah?
No.
No?
Oh. No.
And going rabbi can carry tumah?
Goyim don't have tumas meis, but they, as Baruch says, they could have rodents on them and other things. Amar Rav Papa said, Kalecha d'tnan, eser t'nan. All these mishnayos, where you have lists of the manachos, it's listing 10 different types of kabbalas mincha. My kamashim, what's Rav Papa's point? To say that this mishnah is against Rabbi Shimon, lafukim Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon says that if a person says, I'm giving a minchas ma'afetan or chalos rikikin, then mechza chalos and mechza rikikin, he can bring 5 loaves that are chalos, round, and a little bit thick, and 5 that are rikikin, and mix them together. And the chacham say, no, it's either 10 chalos or 10 rikikin. So, kamash malin delo. So the point is, this mishnah is not like that, because this mishnah says that there are 10 types of menachos, not 11. According to Rabbi Shimon, there's an 11th, namely minchas ma'afetanur, of chalos and rikikin, which is 5 chalos and 5 rikikin. Ask the Gemara, Shirayin, the Kohanim, the leftovers of these menachos go to the Kohanim. Minel, how do we know this? Minel, how do you know this? The Ksiva, Ksiva. Plenty of menachos, it says so explicitly. The Lo Ksiva, where it doesn't say so, it says that it doesn't. Right? Ksiva, it says, even where it doesn't say, it says, Ve'ezos Torah Samincha, Krivos Abnei Aaron. This is the Torah of the Mincha. It should be brought by the children of Aaron. Very many of it come so, and take out of it a fistful. Vanoseres Mimena, the leftover, Yochlu Aaron of Anav. The leftovers will be eaten by Aaron and his sons. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe Abba Chitin, maybe a mincha of wheat. Lo kami boil on that, we didn't have a question. Because as you say, sometimes it says it, and sometimes it says those Torahs HaMincha. All the menachos are the same. Ki kami boil Abba Sorum. What about the minchas coming out of barley? So the Gemara says, well, Abba Sorum Naim, even when it comes out of barley, me dinik matzes shirei la kohanim. When the mincha, when a fistful is taken out, namely with the mincha sa'omer, the leftovers go to the kohanim. So therefore, right, and the fact that a fistful is taken out, that shows that the rest goes to the kohanim. So the Gemara says, you're right, I'll leave it to Rabbanan, lo kami boilan. We don't need a pasuk for the Rabbanan. Ki kami boilan, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. We need a pasuk for what Rabbi Shimon says, because Rabbi Shimon holds, Ika mincha demikam tzavolo mesachla. He holds that if a kohen walked into the temple while impure, he has to bring a minchas chote, which is also minchas kohanim. A fistful, says Rabbi Shimon, is going to go into the fire, and the rest is also going to go into the fire. It's not the Mishnah says Rabbi Shimon, minchas chote shakalanim nikmetzes. Vakom itzkar b'fnei atzman. Shirayim kriyim b'fnei atzman. So according to him, how do we know when you have a mincha that a fistful is taken out of it of barley that the leftovers are eaten by the kohanim? Maybe it also goes into the fire. Minolim. So the Gemara gives an answer. Amar Chizki answered, Amar Kadu Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'chal mincha b'lulav ha-shemen. Any mincha that's mixed with oil. V'charev or a mincha that doesn't have oil. Namely, mincha schote. V'chal b'nei Aaron tiyed. Belongs to all the children of Aaron. So the point is like this. I mean, I don't need a Pasuk to tell me that a mincha of wheat mixed with oil, the leftovers go to the b'nei Aaron, because that we have the other Pasuk. It's coming to say that when you mix oil with barley flour, the leftovers go to the Bnei Aaron. I don't need a pasuk for the dry mincha of wheat. Therefore, I use the pasuk to tell me that a dry mincha of barley, the leftovers go to the Kohanim.